Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Brandy M. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, August 12th. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 78, first paragraph, starting with, in 9 cases out of 10. Today's readers are Don M. for the 12 steps, Jody E. for the 12 traditions. Readers of the text are Elizabeth T., Sherry M., and Lois. Mary B. is our newcomer greeter, and Sherry E. will do announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 11th, for the 10 a.m. meeting is 17,536. That's 17536. And for this morning 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, the share ID is 17,544. That's 17544. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Don M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Don.
Hi, this is Dawn M., the 12th step of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Don M. Judy E., can you please read the 12 traditions?
Absolutely. Good morning, and thank you for your service. This is Jody E., a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater in California. The 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3,
The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to be of service. I pass.
Thank you, Jody. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Everyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we will resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 78, starting with paragraph in 9 cases out of 10, reading that paragraph only. I will now ask Elizabeth T. to begin reading. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. This is Elizabeth T. from Minneapolis, and thank you very much for letting me be of service. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault. So feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter. However, if someone does throw us out of his office, we have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam. This is such a great paragraph. I just love the imagery. I love just some of the wonderful, I mean, they 9 cases out of 10. So we've got this math going on. We've got 90% of the time the unexpected is going to happen. So this is this great encouragement that we move forward regardless of what the outcome is going to be. Feuds of years melt away. Our enemies sometimes praise what we're doing and wish us well. Occasionally it doesn't go as planned, but that's the occasion. And we sometimes, all we need to remember is that we are demonstrating and doing our part. The previous paragraph talks about cleaning, sweeping off our side of things. And that's where we're at right now. We're in the step 9, in which we are trying to make amends or change our behavior, and we are going to make direct amends. So this is specifically about a direct amend. My own experience has been, yes, very similar, in that 9 cases out of 10, it's very unexpected. And the reason why it's unexpected, first of all, I've prepared with my sponsor. I've gone through and done an inventory. I've already listed out my harms. How have I harmed this person? And then what ends up happening is I've prayed for humility, and I prepared to go before this person and make my amends. So this is this wonderful paragraph in which we're really talking about what happens when we are right there directly making amends. And this is a direct amend that they're referring to. People talk about indirect amends, which is through my actions, I am changing my behavior. And the same holds true. Old harms or old wounds are forgiven. New relationships are mended. And there's this wonderful sense that we are moving from, we're crossing over into a whole new realm. I don't have other than that. I'm really excited to hear what other people have to say about this paragraph. But the last thing, what I love is it's water over the dam. And what is water over the dam? You know, it's gone. It's gone. It's already gone downstream. And that's this feeling we get. We start to, not regret the past. We don't shut the door on it, and it's water over the dam. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth T., for getting us started. So we'll now open the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share on this paragraph today?
Teresa C.
Teresa C. Anyone else? Good opportunity if you're new. Or if you're not, if you've never shared, this is a great opportunity.
You can put my name in, Brandy. This is Sherry M.
Sherry M. Thank you, Sherry.
Lois P.
Lois P. All right, well, let's start with that lineup. I have Teresa C., Sherry M., Lois P. Is there anyone else that wants to share on that paragraph? Page 78, 9 cases out of 10. Okay, Teresa C., take it away.
Okay, can I be heard?
You can.
All right, okay. So I'm Teresa C., compulsive overeater in recovery in New Jersey. I really wanted to share on this because I've had, just want to reiterate to people who are, new to the program or, haven't done step 9 yet, what a wonderful relief it is. And that my experience was the same as others. I think out of all the amends I made to people, there was really only one that was kind of biting back. Generally, and even a really difficult one, I don't know, when I was doing my step 9, I decided to do the hardest first. And I did. And it was, again, an amazing thing, well received. But to me, the most important thing was this whole thing of water over the bridge. It felt so.
Well, Teresa, we can't hear you.
Okay, sorry. I just got a thing that said I was unmuted, but here I am again. Just what a wonderful feeling it was to take responsibility for my own issues and then, you know, move on. I don't really know how to describe that feeling. I just know it was really like a deep breath, and that I could start something, a new chapter. I think that's what I'm thinking in terms of, you know, going on now. And then, you know, when I make a mistake, knowing that I need to claim my part of it. And that's just been such a great part of my life, being able to do that, to understand that that's an option I have, and what great relief it brings to me, and the quality of life, you know, improves. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Teresa. All right, Sherry M., you're up, followed by Lois P. Good morning, Sherry.
Hi, good morning. This is Sherry M. I'm gratefully recovered today in California. Thank you so much for your service, Brandy, and for the everyone who shared so far. And, you know, next to this paragraph, I wrote, as what the opening speaker said, you know, 9 cases out of 10, those are good odds, right? So that's like, that's a high percentage. I've never had anybody, I've made all sorts of amends, different amends, paying back money amends, family amends, husband amends, I mean, so many. I've never had anybody throw me out of the office, but yet it says it doesn't matter. So, you know, whatever the other person does, again, this is just such a good reminder that I am doing these amends. Why? Because I work for God now, right? So if I'm going to an employer, I realize that God is my new employer. And even if I, you know, I'm going to lose the job or my reputation or whatever it is, then that is what my higher power wants for me. I have turned my life over, handed it over to God, and said, here, this is the admission price for being recovered and being free from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And to have the spiritual malady be overcome is me demonstrating what does that look like. And, you know, it is such a gift. I think of amends, if I take myself out of the equation, I think of what a gift it is to the other person. And, you know, this is not something, you know, this is something that really sets us apart of being in 12-step rooms. And being an Overeaters Anonymous is like, where else do people admit their mistakes and come out and say, you know, I was wrong. This was wrong of me. I stole this money or whatever it is. And how can I pay it back? Or what can I do to set this right? The hardest amends that I've had to make are actually the most spiritually rewarding. And I, you know, yes, we do those usually last, do the easy ones first, and then we'll be ready. If anybody's worried about step 9, again, what do we have to lose? You know, that's always like my question. Like, did I remember that I said I'm going to go to any lengths? And if all these recovered people ahead of me have done this work, they've all lived to tell the tell, and they're going to hold me, you know, hold my hand through it. I think this is one of the most important steps where the sponsor comes in. Into play. This is a place where the sponsor really does hold the sponsee's hand. It's God, the sponsor, and myself, and the three of us go and make amends together, hand in hand, running everything by the sponsor. Don't do it on my own. I could cause more harm. And so when I know that I have a script written out, it doesn't matter. I stick to it. I ask the person, thank you. I ask what else I can do. And then I just put it in God's hands. So thank you so much for letting me share. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. All right. So next up, we're going to have Lois P. And then I'm going to open up the lines again to share on page 78, second paragraph in 9 cases out of 10. So be ready to say your name because we'd love to hear you share. Good morning, Lois.
Hi, good morning, Brandy. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. You know, step 9 is, for me, an uncovering of all of the guilt and shame and feelings of not being good enough because I did something wrong. It's really uncovering all of that and bringing it out into the open so that the light of awareness, the light of God, can enter into me. You know, so much of the weight that I carried was, the physical weight was just an outer manifestation of the weight I was carrying in my heart and in my mind. You know, I don't know about other people, but I can say just being always overweight as a child, being, you know, considered fat and standing out and sticking out, I just felt ashamed. You know, I just felt I did something wrong, just being alive. And then, of course, little things along the way in life, I just felt I did something. I was responsible. So even though people may have disappointed or hurt me, it's not about them, as everyone has said before me. It's really about me clearing away the debris that I've carried with me, that I've created the weight that I literally carry physically, and clearing all of that away and just saying to God and to any other person I may have harmed or wronged, I truly am sorry for whatever I have done. Forgive me. And I have seen so many people that I've made amends to just melt and just say, some people say, I didn't even remember that. Where others, it's just unlocked something in their own heart. And as someone just said, it's a gift to them as well. So please trust in the process. The weight is literally a metaphor for me, and maybe for you, for the weight that I've carried around, the guilt, the shame, the embarrassment, that something was always wrong with me. And to just get that out into the open is a beautiful, wonderful gift from God, when we can really make the transition away from that kind of life into the life of the spirit. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Lois P. All right, so we'll now open the lines again. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Linda B. from Ontario, Canada.
Linda B.
Katie.
Tony
Katie,
M.
Katie M.
Honey M.
Katie.
Katie, I have you. I have you,
okay,
Tony.
Sandy K.
Sandy K. Anyone else?
Danielle O.
Danielle O. Anyone else? All right, I'll tell you who I have. I have Linda B., Tawny M., Katie M., Sandy K., and Danielle O. Last chance, anyone else to get on this fantastic lineup?
Was Tawny Honey with an H? Honey N?
Oh, maybe it's Honey N.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha.
Thank you.
Okay, so Linda B., good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Thank you. The line today, Linda B., a compulsive overeater. Sorry, I'm a bit nervous and overtired. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. That gives me some hope and some encouragement to keep going forward. As we hear, this program is about progress, not perfection. And so that line is what stood out for me today. And I haven't heard too many people share any horrible making amends that have had, you know, consequences that they have had to deal with. And so that's really all I wanted to say, but that does give me some encouragement to keep moving forward, and that rarely do we fail, and that's hopeful. Thank you for letting me share. Bye for now.
Thank you, Linda B. Honey N, you're up next.
This is Honey, compulsive overeater from Miami, Florida. Really grateful to be on the line and finally make it to one of these meetings. You know, with step nine, I went through the step process two times, and the first time when I did it, I was so blocked off from being able to see in many cases where I had amends to make that, you know, there were people that I knew that I had hurt, and, you know, part of my process was to sit with them and ask them, you know, what have I done to, you know, create like a drift between us, you know, and, you know, like just being able to like finally like stop keeping people at like an arm's distance and allow them to like shed some light on ways that I've wronged them. You know, I didn't realize so many times that like when I was in the food, just like how I just ignored people and was like completely like numb to how I treated them, you know, even if it was like things like sitting at a restaurant with them, and because I didn't, you know, want to like overeat in front of them, I would just be on my phone the whole time, you know, and so many cases, like, you know, that's what I did. I blocked people off and didn't even realize. So, you know, for me, like amends was like just this process of being able to grow and change myself, you know, by just listening, you know, so many times, like when I thought of like amends, I thought like I would have to do so much of the talking. But what was interesting, and I finally got to like stop and like listen to what people were like honestly like just trying to tell me. And then from that, like amend my ways toward them, you know. And, you know, today I sit at a restaurant with people or not, whatever it is. And I think twice before I pick up my phone and ignore what they're saying just because I don't want to be in the food. You know, part of being recovered is that I'm not fighting the food, so I don't have to sit there uncomfortable with people. So little off topic, little on topic, but in any case, I'm glad to be here and I'm glad to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Honey Ann. All right, I now have Katie M. followed by Sandy K. Good morning, Katie. Katie, star one to unmute.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Good morning.
Okay, thank you. I'm Katie M., and I am from Nevada. I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm a couple months into the program, and I just started listening to this meeting yesterday morning. Which was an interesting place to start because I feel like I am almost sabotaging myself because I am so afraid of step nine that it's just putting a lot of fear into me. And I've been going over and over in my head what I'm going to do at step nine, and I'm still working my way through, you know, steps one and two. And the last couple of days of listening to people's amends and the hard amends that they have done is making me feel more comfortable with what I'm going to have to do, and making me think that at this point it's best to focus on the step I'm on, because I know that the steps one through eight are going to help build me up to that point. And so I just wanted to thank everyone for their shares, because it is really helping me stay on program and not fear step nine so much. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, I now have Sandy K up, followed by Danielle O. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. This is Sandy K from Plantation, Florida. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And I want to start out by saying it is never too late to uncover something that a stone had covered over. And that's what happened this morning with step nine. I have a sponsee, and she and I are going over steps eight and nine together. And I had shared something I did a while ago, and it had to do with if someone throws us out of his office, at least we've done our part. So when I first came to program, I had a number of people, I don't remember how many, but I had a number of people I needed and wanted to make amends to. I think all of them said either I didn't remember it or oh, no big deal. And then as I, you know, continued my life in program, as needed, I would make amends. Normally right away I would catch it. Well, I think it was two or three years ago, I was with another OAer who I'd known for many, many years, and I was ignoring her. And I didn't realize at the time. I actually had a concussion a year or two before that, and so it was really hard for me sometimes to link A and B together. But I was ignoring her, and she left, and I didn't even know that was a problem until maybe a month after I realized, oh, my goodness, look what I did. And so I and then one of my big mistake was waiting. I was so embarrassed because I didn't want anyone to know I had a concussion and that it affected me. So there was my ego. But after about 2 months after it happened, I called her because she wasn't in the area anymore. And I wanted to make amends, and she didn't want to hear it. And that was the first time in whatever it was then, 35 years, that no one ever said, I don't want to hear it. But I realized that, and then I said to my sponsor, oh, my God, what do I do? And then she reminded me, you know, I cleaned up my side of the street. But really, I didn't completely clean it up because I then didn't want to act on when I knew I needed to make an amend. So it probably would have been okay if I called her as soon as I realized it, but not, you know, 2 months later. So that's my side of the street. That's my side of the street. I hesitated because of my ego and my embarrassment over a physical ailment. Which I look back on it now. Of course, that was ridiculous. But anyway, that's how my ego and my low self-esteem has affected me, where most of my amends have come just from those character defects. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy Kay. All right. So next we'll have Danielle O. And after Danielle, we might have room for a couple more shares if you want to get in on this share, that would be great. Danielle, oh, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Danielle from New York. I wanted to claim my seat this morning and say that today, God willing, will be my first day of abstinence, full, complete day of abstinence. And, you know, I've been in OA, I've been in different OA programs, and I've worked the steps, and, you know, I hate to say I'm a chronic relapser, but I think that's finally what I am. And but, you know, let that go, move on. And because today is a new day, and I think that's one of the things that is giving me so much hope is, you know, I don't want to beat myself up over what has happened, but, I mean, I'm only looking forward to what's to come because I've worked through these steps, and I've worked with so many people in different places in my life. And they're all very, very supportive and understanding and just willing to do whatever they have to help. And that's what I love about it. God has been working in my life. He has for a long time, not just since I came to program. But now that I look back at it, it's like the common thread is that I always come back to the steps. I always come back to OA, and it just needs to be better that I stay. And I stay instead of the alternative, because the alternative never avails anything. Now, I remember when I came back here, I have a couple of amends I needed to make, and they were hard. They were not easy, and I had a hard time with getting the right wording, but I'm so glad that I went through it. And I know that it's really changed a lot of the way I see myself in this world, as well as how I see my daughter. You know, I honestly believe that we're walking, talking miracles because God created us. And there's a reason why my daughter is in my life. And there's a reason why, you know, I'm learning from her more than she's learning from me. So there's some beautiful gifts that are ahead. I just have to remember that, you know, when I'm in the food, I can't see and hear that very well. but when I'm clean and clear, I'm praising God a lot more, and I'm doing a lot more to remember that He is in charge. And I'm grateful that these steps haven't changed, and they're not going anywhere. I just have to be the one to be willing to do the work. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Danielle O, for sharing with us. So we have room for a couple more shares if anyone would like to share on page 78. 9 cases out of 10, that paragraph only. Is there anyone that would like to share?
Shannon M.
Shannon M. Anyone else?
Doreen K.
IDS.
Doreen K. IVS. All right. So is there anyone else that would like to share on that?
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Hi, Wendy. All right. So I have Shannon M., Doreen K., IVS, and Wendy M. Good morning, Shannon.
Hi. Yeah, thank you so much for your service. My name is Shannon M., compulsive overeater in bulimic in Seattle, Washington. You know, this morning I was thinking about, I have 4 sisters, and the last time I worked the steps and did amends, I had never been willing to look at my behavior with my sisters before. I always had a real story in my mind about why I was justified in a lot of my behaviors based on our childhood, and that came to light that was not, you know, my behaviors were, they needed to be changed and amended, and I needed to apologize for my past behaviors and then change moving forward. And that was sort of the nature of my amends to each of my sisters. Well, 3 of the sisters, they were, you know, in Shannon's world, you know, what I sort of expected, like, oh, you know, their responses were very loving and very just kind and brief. And then my 4th sister, she let me have it. And she really told me a lot of things about my behavior that were painful to her and upsetting. And, you know, I remember sitting in that amend so taken aback. But I knew that I knew that as I sat through that I needed to listen to her and to hear what she was saying. And it took me quite some time to really sort through what it was that she had said, because I was so unaware still of all the things that she brought up. And I was thinking this morning how grateful I am that there was a lot of venom and anger behind what she was saying, and I needed to, like, you know, take that to my sponsor and just, you know, not absorb the anger, but just look for the truth of what she said. And, you know, I just came back from a family reunion a few weeks ago, and I was peaceful with her. I don't think I thought of that amend specifically, although I did behave so differently with my sisters. And I was just thinking that sometimes when you are sort of metaphorically, like, kicked out of somebody's office, there can be so much to learn. And there was so much for me to really, it was very humbling, and it really informed for me some additional ways for me to change as I moved forward. And, you know, my relationship today with my sisters is so much better, and including that sister. And so, yeah. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. All right. We now have, Doreen K. Doreen
K. Yep, Darian. Darian. Yep, thank you. Hi, it's Darian K. from the Berkshire from Massachusetts. Grateful to be on the line with all of you this morning. Oh, and it's so good to hear everybody. Yeah, making amends is not easy. Especially if you're a people pleaser like me and you just want people to like you and forget about your transgressions and treat you, you know, like you're the princess in their life. Yeah, and that's not reality, is it? So, you know, I've made many amends in this program. I've been, you know, in program for 35 years, and some of them have been well received. Thank you, God. You know, some, especially people that are also in program too. You know, I recently made one with my ex-husband, and he is in a program as well, and he started talking about his part and how, you know, how it probably affected me. And so it was good. It was good. But it, again, it was cleaning my own side of the street because I was walking around with guilt and remorse. And that is a heavy, heavy thing. And I like how someone said, you know, the metaphor of the weight on our shoulders, really, versus the weight on our body. And it really does relieve quite a bit of the heaviness that we can carry around in our hearts. You know, and then some, you know, maybe weren't so easy and not well received. And I had to accept that and be okay with it, you know, and not make an amends for making the amends, you know. I'm sorry I hurt you by telling you. Because this is just what I have to do in my program, you know. And maybe time sometimes takes the bite out of it, right? And so it's it could be time. But, you know, I'm impatient, and I want to control the situation. So I want to, in my mind, make everything better. And that's not always the case. So I have to bring God into every amends that I make. That's the bottom line. I can't do this alone. None of it. I can't do any of this alone. So I have to definitely bring God into this and ask God, you know, what I should say, when should I say it, how should I say it. You know, I run things by my sponsor to make sure it sounds appropriate and not, you know, self-centered. And then just do it. I feel like that's the bottom line, is just doing it. A lot of these steps we just have to do. And the outcome is the outcome. But the bottom line is I'm not going to pick up the food over it. And I'm going to have one more day of the peace and serenity that I crave. And that's, you know, that's what I work toward. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, Ivy S. followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Ivy.
Hi, Ivy S. from California, and compulsive overeater and bulimic. Yeah, this is a really good section in the book. I like when it says, in particular, we have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam, like other people have shared. And I really saw that in my amends to the hardest amends I had to do to my mom. You know, and it wasn't an immediate relief that I felt. And she was the hardest to do. You know, I really had to bring God into that experience because it was an amends I did not want to do. I really, I was surprised at how resistant I was to it. But, you know, by then I had been sharing my story in meetings and to fellows about, you know, I have the hopeless condition of compulsive eating and bulimia. And, you know, to resist doing the step work, to do the work, was, you know, kind of going back into hell, so to speak. And I did not want to go back to hell. And, you know, I just remember really asking higher power, my higher power for help in the car, standing in front of their house. I did not want to do this amends, but, you know, I had made my appointment and I had my book and, you know, I had gone over it with my sponsor. I've gone over all my amends with my sponsor and, you know, she would tell me, you know, parts here and leave other parts out. And, you know, it was so beautiful. She really accepted it. And, you know, and like it says here, you know, doing my part, that really was the most important part. And what I remember was I did feel the immediate relief of it's done. you know. But over several weeks, I noticed like this shift in myself where I felt a lot more at peace with my mom. I didn't understand it at first, but then I realized that I had this level of acceptance that I had never had before. And I started to see that, you know, my part was, what was I magnifying? Like when I'm around her, am I magnifying, you know, all her beautiful traits, or am I magnifying other things? You know, that was my part, and I no longer was a victim. I had played a part, and it helped me just have loving, doing that inventory, you know, before seeing my parts just made me have more compassion also for others, including my mom, So, you know, and doing other amends, seeing God's grace, you know, them giving me God, being so kind and loving, you know, just helped me be more kind and loving towards fellows who I was given
time, please.
Grace, and giving that to other people as well. So that's all I have. Thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ivy. All right, Wendy, take us out. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Brandy. Happy to be on the line with you today. Thanks for your service. So what I have to share is, like you had the do's and the don'ts, this is a don't. But before I do that, I just want to say that making an amends is, you're on God's errand. Like, it has nothing to do with me. I'm just literally carrying out whatever it is God needs me to do. But here's what I did. I was kicked out of an office. And my first thought is like, what? I'm like a good girl. Plus, I'm here to like do a good thing. You know, I was already in resentment mode because the problem is I made a spontaneous amends that I didn't even feel the need to make. So I'm already on like not good ground. And when I say spontaneous, I literally walked into the cafe and approached the man. So I never called him ahead of time. I never prepared him ahead of time. And the minute he saw me, he yelled, and he yelled for me to get out, which is like my greatest fear. And you know, I make amends, not now because I'm in like a lot more spiritual condition, but I made amends in the past so that I would feel good. I made amends in the past so that they would like me. Like if it's a good amends, it means like if they like me at the end of the amends, it was a good amends. If they don't like me or if they kick me out of their office, it was a bad amend. So I see so much growth in myself, thank you, God, in terms of like self, like big fat self, right? Just running the show. I'm going to just run in there in that cafe because I'm right, even though I don't still feel like I did anything wrong. Like I'm in trouble on so many levels. Oh, and I didn't call any of you guys before to actually think through this amend. And I think I did that because I was nervous, and I think I did that because I still felt like, what? He was worse than I was. I mean, it was really just everything in the book that you don't do, this is what I did. You know, but I think the thing that really was interesting to me is how dishonest I was. You know, I wasn't even honest going in. And he still might kick me out today, even if I go to him, you know, and prepare it ahead of time and ask him if I may meet him. Because you know what? This isn't about me asking someone, come on, you have to say yes, I'm going to meet you. Don't you realize what I'm doing? I'm such a good person. But instead, you know, really digging deep, like what were my defects of character? Really talking to another fellow and finding out, what was it and what is it that I need to release and what harm did I do to another human being? And today I have to say I have a program where I am way more humble. And I constantly, my prayer is like, how can I put that person in the center? How can I be useful? How can I be helpful to that human being instead of what does Wendy need? Because I don't need, because I have God. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy, and thank you, everyone, for sharing. So we'll now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sherry M. please read A Vision for You?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.